Microphone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Haley, do you want to introduce our guest for tonight?
I would be so honored to introduce her. First of all, welcome to Nice Hair Podcast. I'm Haley.
And I'm Hannah.
And we have a very special guest with us today. Without further ado, we have Miss Olivia C. Olivia, I met Olivia, how many years ago was it now? Two?
I don't know. I feel like it's been longer. Like three?
Maybe three. I met Olivia a while ago. And we met through extension training. And then we got deeper connected through the coaching program that I have been doing over the last couple of years. And Olivia came, I don't want to tell her story, but she came in and really crushed it. And she has been so inspiring for me to watch, not just as, you know, going through my coaching program, but also as a stylist. Her work is amazing. She's doing some really amazing and cool things coming up that I want her to for sure share about. So Olivia, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. We are so honored to have you.
I'm literally so excited that you guys even asked me.
Well, and it actually kind of is timing up perfectly with some things that you have going on, but I would personally love to hear just your story, your journey with not just doing hair, but your business, when you got into extensions, how you got into extensions, and kind of how you, you know, got to where you are today. Did you always know you wanted to do hair?
No, definitely not. Like my senior year of high school, I was like gearing up, ready to go play college soccer. And then I had like a bad hand injury, and that like kind of put stuff into like perspective that, you know, like even if I like went to college, what was I going to do like after it? And I like had always liked the beauty industry, like whether it be like makeup, hair, any of it. And I just kind of made like the decision like kind of last minute that I was going to go to beauty school, and I did, and I ended up going like full time, and I finished in 8.5 months, and then like started an assistant program. And
I'm sorry, 8.5 months is insane for beauty.
School. I was like grinding it out. I didn't love it. I didn't have like an amazing experience. I didn't really like mesh with any of the people there. I don't know. It just like wasn't for me. So I was like really focused. Like my head was down, and
you're trying to get out of there.
Yeah. I just like did my shit and let's go.
I think that's actually a really good sign of character in beauty school when you don't feel like you fit in.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I just didn't. I felt like I did not fit in at all.
Okay, so what made you feel like you didn't fit in? I'm curious.
I think it was like probably like my like wanting to like be there and like get my work done. I feel like a lot of people, at least this was my experience, I felt like a lot of the like my classmates that I had were just there and like this was like fun for them, like it was like a getaway from whatever they were doing. And I took it pretty seriously. Like I had an end goal, like I had a time frame, I wanted to get in, get out. And I feel like that's where like I didn't really mesh with people, like the work ethic part of it.
Yeah. But okay, wait, so what year was that?
I graduated cosmetology school in 2016.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay, so you crank through cosmetology school, it takes you 8 months and you're out, and then you become an assistant. What was that experience like?
I had like mixed feelings about my assistant program. You know, I went to the salon that I had grown up going to. Like,
okay.
This salon, like, did my aunt's wedding. I, like, knew all the stylist family and everything. Like, I was, like, really connected with them. And so I think because I, like, had that relationship, I thought this experience would have been a little different. But it just really wasn't. And I just, like, quickly found out that, like, doing perms and tint retouches were just not how I wanted my career or life to be.
Really quick. So you're assisting in your first salon. What is it? And you don't have to dive too much into this. What is the person? Who's the person that you're assisting? Like, what is their schedule and life like? And how long were you with them?
Yeah, I was with one girl the longest. I was with her for like a year. And she worked like 3 days, like 12-hour days, back-to-back clients, a lot of like partial butters. Like, if you guys know, you know what that is, right?
No. What?
That's what they called it. Like a partial butter where you do like a tint retouch with like partial foils, like highlights.
Okay. I'm going to guess. I've literally never heard this term
Me
before.
Me either.
But that's I do want to take a guess. So I have heard not necessarily even older stylists, but kind of like more old school stylists call their like color retouch clients their bread and butter.
Yes. 1000%.
So is that where that's from?
Yes.
Okay. So explain that.
I mean, that was literally, I feel like the salon that I was at, that was like their bread and butter was majority of the clientele that they were having was tint retouches and the partial butter clients. Like,
So there's like a subset of stylists who are, it sucks that they feel like this, but their mindset is that their most important clients, or like the people who are really always going to sustain them and pay their bills, are the bread and butter clients. And most of the time that is just a color retouch and like a trim every once in a while.
Yeah.
And that was like definitely a mindset that you were surrounded by, it sounds like.
For sure. And I just like knew, like, that was like boring to me. Like, I learned during my like training, I did, but I like wish it was more. I wish that I would have maybe like voiced it a little more that this isn't what I wanted. But I thought that was like boring to me. And then like after assisting her, the owner had like an injury and she needed someone to take over her schedule. So she just threw me in on her schedule. And I was working Monday through Thursday at 5 a.m. to like 1 p.m. doing tint retouches, perms, and men's cuts.
What do you mean 5 a.m.?
You heard me.
5 a.m. I was like, wait, what?
Literally. Why?
That's when she worked. That's when like she wanted, that's when her clients came in.
That's like a personal trainer schedule.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Was there a lot of people in this, I don't know what area you're in, but are there a lot of like third shift clients? Like, I don't even understand.
Wow. Yeah, no, it doesn't even make sense though. Like this salon was in Dublin and she just had like a lot of teachers or a lot of stay at home moms. And they just liked coming in at 5 a.m.
Okay, Dublin, Ohio, outside of Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was like, if it was in Dublin, Ireland, maybe people are like different there.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so she just had a weird schedule.
Yeah, she just had a weird schedule. And I just was the one that took it over. And then when she came back, they like still wanted me to assist, but I like wanted my books open. Like at this point I had been assisting for like 2 years. So like I want my books open. I want to like start getting clients. And so they like opened my books, but I still had to keep like a few 5 a.m. days because at that point, like some of her clients did move over to me, which was great. Like money, I'm not gonna like turn away their money, but like that schedule just like wasn't ideal for me. And then I just like really ended up, I was just super bored. I was like miserable. Like, you know, like how commission salons, like they have like the scale, like you have enough clients where you're commission based, or if you don't have enough, you're going to be hourly.
Yes.
I was hourly probably 97% of the time, to be honest.
Wow.
I wasn't busy. And
what was the price point of like your average ticket, if you had to guess?
On like commission?
No, like what would you charge for like a...
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Like our, like the partial butter, like the tint retouch and like half foils, that was like probably like 140.
I'm sorry, I don't know if you can call it the partial butter in me, like...
I know, I just want to giggle every time you say it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it probably like ranged around like 140, 150.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. So this is in like 2017, probably 2000, yeah. Maybe going into 18.
Maybe going, yeah, 18. Yeah.
And how many clients were you taking a day or at like per
Oh,
day?
I mean, when I had my books open, I was truthfully lucky if I had one client.
Okay. Olivia.
I literally can't even make this up. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to talk about.
No, this isn't, this makes me even, I didn't know any of this about you. And so I feel like even more in awe of you and everything you've done now.
Oh, and none of this is embarrassing. I mean, Olivia, the last episode, I just said how I was making $230 a week. You know, I mean, I think it's all, that's like normal to a stylist.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely all have our own journeys, that's for sure.
Okay, so how long did you stay at that salon?
I stayed at that salon up until like when the world like went back, like after COVID, like I think it was like that October of what, like 2020, right? Mm-hmm. Is that when the world opened back up?
Yes.
Yeah. So I quit right after we were able to go back to work. And then that's when that's when I met you, Haley. And
weren't you in a bigger salon though at that point?
No, that was the salon. That was my first big commissioned salon.
No.
Yeah.
The one with the no compete?
Yeah, that's the one that I had to go all the way, like the 12 air miles.
What's an air mile?
So it's like how the duck flies or whatever they say. So not driving miles, but air miles. So for me, where the salon was at, I had to go all the way to like Gahanna, which was like an hour drive for me one way.
Damn.
That is insane. Horrible. Okay, so can you elaborate on, because you had signed a no compete. Did you know what you were signing when you signed that?
I mean, I don't know if really any new stylist knows what the hell they're signing, right? Yeah. I mean, and at that point too, like right out of cosmetology school, like I didn't really have a choice. I didn't feel like, like assisting like a single independent stylist, like Haley, like what Sammy does with you currently, like that wasn't like a huge thing. Like when I got out of cosmetology school.
Yeah.
So I think if like the time was different, I would have preferred to do something else. But at the time, I didn't really feel like I had another option. So I signed it. And when I was like getting my ducks in a row to leave, I like quickly regretted signing that.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what steps did you take then to get away and out of, like, you for sure had to go outside of the mileage. Like there was no getting around that.
So me and my girlfriend that went out together, like we shared a double loft. Before we had like turned in our notice, we had like went to our owners to their house because at that point, like we thought we could like talk to them, like they were family. So we like went to their house and chatted with her and her husband and asked like, could you rewrite our contract for, we don't have to go an hour away. Like, how are we going to have any clients? And they like basically laughed at us in the face and said, no, if we want to leave, we have to go 12 air miles. So we just ended up doing that for a year. That was our non-compete, was just a year. And then right after that, we like moved as close as possible back as we could.
So in this time frame, how did you get introduced to hair extensions, or when did you start like learning about hair extensions?
I actually started doing hair extensions while I was still at the salon. I was the one that had brought it to the table for the salon, like maybe we should look into it. It's at this point it was like becoming popular. And I had brought it to the table, and then me and like two other girls went to a class. And
what class did you go to, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh no, I don't care. The first class that we did was SKW.
Okay.
And we did that together, and my dumbass signed another like NDA with that. And so when I had left, that's when I ended up like getting sued by them, because at that point, like I had started doing extensions. I was really the only stylist at the salon that was taking it seriously, like doing models and working on it. So I had like started to build up like some clients with them. And then when I left, they sued me because they knew like my extension clients were going to follow me.
The salon sued you?
Yeah.
Okay.
To just pay back like my education. But yeah.
Okay, really quick.
Yeah.
So you were doing hair extension clients at that salon.
Yeah.
And you decided to leave. They wouldn't change your contract in any way. You left. You went outside of the area that you agreed to like go outside of. So how did they sue you?
Because they knew like my extension clients were going to follow me. So like part of the contract was that I couldn't do any clients that I did at the salon at my new place.
Gotcha.
Whatever. Well,
that's so shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And then they won.
Well, yeah. I mean, at that point, like I was just starting out, like I literally had no money. So I didn't really have a choice, but to pay it back.
How much did you pay back?
I mean, it was only like $2,500. It wasn't a lot, but I mean, it's enough.
Well, that's a lot, like, especially to when you're going out on your own, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're just starting a business.
Well, and I think you knew this too, Haley, that I was like working at a bar, like when I first started going out on my own.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. Did that to just like have some cash flow.
I'm so shocked right now. I had no idea, number one, that you had actually gotten sued. Like anyone followed through with this.
Yeah.
And it goes to show too, the power of like what doing your own thing really, like what it does to a functioning salon. Like they were probably more intimidated by the fact that you were like actually doing what you were doing, and that pissed them off because they knew they had probably fallen behind and were just not trying.
Yeah.
Olivia, did you retain an attorney to try to fight it, or were you just like, I'm just gonna pay out what they're
saying? No, I did. I like sent it to my attorney, and I mean, with how much it costs to like pay for a lawyer and then to like fight it back and forth,
it wouldn't have been worth it.
No. And at that point I was just so, I think it like pissed me off more that I was like 21 years old and I literally have a car and a house, like I have nothing else to take,
right?
So I think that's it, just like pissed me off, and so I was just like tired of it, so I just wanted to be done. And I'm like really glad that I paid it now. Like now thinking back, I'm happy that I paid it and I just like was done with them.
Yeah.
Because like my success that I have now, it has nothing to do with them. They can't like claim anything that I've built now.
Hell no, they can't.
So you're a rock star now. It's 2023. So the time between when you left there and you were in your own suite, and then when you moved back to that area, what was your like extension life like?
I mean Haley knows, she was along for the ride. I mean, it was definitely rocky. I mean, I for sure had like really low moments. But I just like I literally did everything Haley said. Like I was just really consistent with like showing up on social media because I wasn't like super busy. Like because I was like building a brand new clientele, I was just really focusing on perfecting my installs and perfecting my client's hair. And I think like once I like started figuring out like my groove with my installs and my clients, that's when I really think that's like when my business kind of took a turn. And obviously like staying consistent on social media, like the end of my year, like at Gahanna, before I like moved back to Pal area, that was when like I was like getting more clients. I was like staying consistently busier. So yeah.
Okay, so you're posting more on social media. You had trained with one company. Were you still, had you done education in between them?
Oh, yeah. Like, I did. I mean, I did, like, Luna training. I did IBE. I mean, I definitely, like, was investing into my education.
Significant amount of amounts of money into your education.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're training with different methods, but when did you reach out to Haley, or when did you start doing coaching with her? Like, when was like a time where you had done certain things and certain things weren't working, and like what started really working for you as far as building your clientele?
I don't even know if I like hit a point where I knew like something wasn't working in my business. I just knew like when I went out on my own, I knew that I wanted to like take a shift in my business. I knew I wanted to do like more of extensions. I just really didn't know where to start. I didn't really know how to like market myself or build a brand. So it was like pretty soon after I like went out on my own. I like went out on my own in October, and I connected with Haley in like January. Yeah. So it was like pretty soon after I went out on my own. I knew I needed like help. And if I didn't get the help that I needed, I feel like I would have probably been drowning.
I don't think you would have been drowning. I think you, Olivia, like even just hearing the background of your story, you have the work ethic and you have that savviness. I think you just went the smarter route than someone like me went, right? Like you were like, there's something better out there and I don't have to take years and years to build it and find it. I can have somebody help me along the way and kind of cruise through it a lot sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a better way to say it.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you like just listening to you, like you're amazing. And
oh my gosh,
no, seriously, your background is really neat hearing you, because it makes sense why you approached everything the way that you did. Because Olivia was the stylist that when I would tell her something, like she had no resistance around anything I would tell her to do. If I said jump, Olivia was like, how high and how fast? You know, so that was really cool on my end to be a part of, because not everyone is like that, but I think you were in such a unique position. Most stylists that I work with are burnt out, they're overbooked, they're working 6 and 7 days a week, and they have this clientele that they have too many clients and they can't get new clients in to build their extension business, where Olivia didn't have a business really. Yeah. Like you were starting from ground zero.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely like had its perks, but I mean, when I had my lows, I definitely think they were low.
I think it's really relatable now to feel really lost and know that you need to make a next step, but not know what that next step is. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are searching for, or even sign up for something like Haley's coaching program, and some people do it right as far as like coaching and stuff, and some people, you know, promise something. I think what's cool about Haley's program, not that we're like selling this right now, but just from the outside seeing this, is that Haley's able to like tap into each person individually and connect with people. And Olivia, I definitely feel like listening to you girls, there's a real connection there. What like really stuck out with you at first when Haley was like giving you feedback or just helping you change your mindset? Like, what was one of the things that like really struck you?
I think the biggest thing was probably anytime like Haley and I would get on a call and I would be like, I'm like ready to give up. Like I had a bad day. Haley just like, she gave me the talk that I needed. Not really like a pep talk, but she was like, this isn't what she says, but it's like how I take it. She's like, get your head out of your ass. Like, that's not what she says. That's just like how I take it.
And, so there's some tough love there.
Yeah. And that's like what I need. So yeah, that. And I just really connected with Haley. And I don't want to say like I'm like a hard person to like or to like get to know, but I don't really let a lot of people in, and Haley was like an easy person to let in and to really like to just help me. So it just was easy.
So what are some of the things
right now? That's so sweet of you.
I know, I'm trying to dig deep into this. What are some of the things that Haley had you take your head out of your ass about, or what are some of the things that were the hardest for you as far as like accountability or follow through that like stuck out kind of?
Well, the biggest thing, like starting out first, like was like social media, like being consistent. I hated showing my face on Instagram. Hated it. And Haley was just like, you got to do it. If you want to like see a difference with like your clientele, with your platform, you just have to do it. And then I think I just like reached a point where I don't want to say I didn't care, but I had to like stop caring what I thought and just do it for me and for my business. Cause you know, like we're our own worst critics. And I think every time like I posted something, I was like going back and watching it and digging it apart. And I remember Haley had told us like, post it and then get off your phone. Like stop going back and forth. So I think social media was a huge part of that. Definitely.
I think that's everybody's like major pain point, like in all reality, right? I think everybody knows they need to do it, but it just feels like this big, huge mountain to climb, and it's scary until you start getting positive feedback.
Yeah, for sure.
I think even once you get positive feedback, I mean, I still fight that to this day. Like I don't, you know, finding time for it is one thing, but then when you do make time, you know, resisting that, you know, what are people going to think, or do I really have something to say, or what is my point? I definitely think it never goes away. It's like a constant thing, but I think that if somebody pushes you or holds you accountable to being consistent about it for any, you know, like time frame, it definitely does get easier, but it doesn't go away. Haley, yeah. Do you think that too?
It's funny you say that, because no, I don't think it goes away. I think you get more comfortable with that feeling. And when it shows up, you're like, well, whatever. I feel that anytime I start talking about anything that I feel is a little bit more personal to me on social media, like, and it makes me uncomfortable to share. And those are the times I post it and I don't get back on my phone. So I have to take my own advice a lot of times, because I don't know that that feeling, sorry, I don't know if you guys can hear Sissy barking. Ava just got home. But I definitely have to take my own advice because it still is uncomfortable. And I found the things I know that I'm comfortable talking about. So if I start branching out and sharing something new or different that I haven't shared, it does make me wildly uncomfortable. So I definitely feel that resistance.
So is that one of the things, Haley, that you coach to, is finding things that you feel comfortable talking about? Like, Olivia, are there certain, did Haley help you find certain little pockets that you're comfortable talking about or that you want to focus on? Is that like a key kind of?
I mean, we definitely like touched points on like things that are comfortable to me, but I wouldn't say like we were like trying to like find like topics to talk about. I don't think so. I mean, do you, Haley?
I would say I've probably shifted some things since, Olivia, honestly, since working with you, because I would say now I try to coach to finding things that you relate to with your ideal client. So conversations that you have in the chair, right? Because most people are like, if I'm not posting about hair, nobody cares what I have to say. And so, which isn't true. That's a story in our head that we just have to get over, because it's not true. People do care about what you have to say. They care about what you're doing, and it might just be weird to you. So I always, my basic way of finding what to talk about on social media that I like to share is, what are the things that you and your client have in common? So you're sitting down with them in the chair, and after you're done with your consultation, what are you guys talking about? So for me, it's travel, it's shopping, it's my family. It's, you know, any new restaurants or, you know, things like that. And we talk a lot about business. I have a big business clientele. So those are things that naturally are super easy and simple for me to bring to social media in a conversation, because those are conversations that I'm having every day with my clients. So outside of hair, you know what I mean? So I would say those are the things I encourage, you know, stylists to talk about, like lifestyle stuff, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's just uncomfortable because you think nobody cares. You think nobody wants to see you on a walk with your dog or, you know, pushing the baby in a stroller and that kind of stuff, but they do.
Yeah. And I definitely think, I'm thinking back to before I had any like real interest or topics to like bring to my client as an equal, you know, when I was struggling and broke and I wanted to connect with stylists that weren't struggling or broke. I definitely think you brought up a good point. You know, I would always talk about like my dog. I love my dog, or even just kind of lean into their interests. I mean, everyone loves talking about themselves. And so I would like say like, oh, your outfit's really cute. Like, where do you like to shop? Because I think sometimes, you know, before we have shit, it's hard to connect with people who do have shit.
Yeah.
So just, even if it's not a one-sided conversation in a way, but even if you can't relate, I think it's good to kind of just pay attention and see what their interests are. And then not like fake interests, but like just be there and, you know, support that and ask questions.
1000%.
Because it's hard being broke and like doing somebody's hair who's not broke and being like, so what do we talk about?
Yes, it is. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. But
I think that's true. A lot of stylists.
Well, and I think too, because something that I have seen a lot in different work environments, because I agree, I think in the chair you should be talking the most about your client, 1000%. I think stylists a lot of times don't know what to talk about. They don't know how to ask questions or to carry a conversation for clients who do want to carry a conversation, right? And so they will in turn talk so much about themselves, and that can get uncomfortable for your client, right? It's one thing when you've established and created a relationship over time, but it's another thing when you like trauma dump on your client, right? When they're like, how are you? And you're like, oh my gosh, I got in a car accident, and then I got a flat tire, and then I had to walk to work, and my boyfriend and I are in a fight, so he's not going to pick me up later, and I'm going to have to Uber home. And like, you know, because those are conversations that I've heard or similar, right? Where it's like, okay, your client actually doesn't care about that kind of stuff. And they don't come sit in your chair for you to put your weight of life on them, right? They want to have a good time. They're here to relax. They're here to maybe talk about, you know, superficial, like the easy life stuff, right? To come and just kind of chill. So I think that was a great point, Hannah.
Thank you. This made me think, Olivia, what was the transition like when you went from a really busy, probably loud, energetic salon into you were in a suite, correct?
Yeah.
What was that transition like? And did you at all, like, on this topic, struggle connecting with clients? Did you find it easier?
I honestly found it so much easier because I just felt like I was in like a free environment, if that makes sense. Like I was able to come to my loft and just be myself, where I feel like at the salon I worked at, like, we had a dress code. Not that we had to like act a certain way, but there was definitely like a standard that was like a norm for how the stylist acted. So did I like definitely act like a certain way when I was at the salon? Yeah. I mean, I definitely put on like a show because there was like a certain clientele that came in, because the owner was like really into their like church community. So a lot of the clientele that was at the salon and that I was getting, like a lot of those partial butters and tearing touches were a lot of like the church's congregation. So I definitely like put on an act, sure. So I felt like the transition was so much easier for me to just be myself and just connect with my clients easier.
That's so interesting because, you know, you're so right. Anyone who works in a salon knows that there's definitely a norm or like a culture in that salon, and that can be a good thing if the stylist needs higher standards, you know, if they've never been around a certain type of client and they need to be held to a higher standard. But yeah, in your case, it sounds like it was something that wasn't true to you.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good fit for me and for what I wanted.
Don't you feel like you learned, do you feel like you learned very valuable things even about yourself being in a salon that had like certain expectations?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that was like part of the biggest reason why I went out on my own. Like, they just didn't, like, I kept coming to the table with like new things that I wanted to do, or just like wanting to do more extension clients, and they didn't want that, and that's fine. But I just like quickly realized that what I wanted for myself and for my career, it just didn't line up with what they wanted or what they were like willing to help with. So this made an easy decision.
Yeah. Olivia, how long would you say it took you to build your extension clientele?
Well, I feel like I'm still building. I mean, I feel like, quite honestly, and Haley's probably going to hate this answer, but I don't think I'll ever stop taking clients I won't ever stop taking like ideal clientele. I guess I should say that. Like, I'm definitely at the point now where I am like really picky on who I take. I want them to be an ideal clientele. But I probably won't ever stop taking new clients.
I don't think you should ever stop taking new clients unless you decide to shift and take your business a different direction.
Like, yeah.
do something different. So I actually love that answer. So
oh, good. I was a little nervous.
No, I would never tell you to stop taking new clients unless you are making a different move or trying to build something else. I think that's amazing. So you're still building. Tell us what work is like now for you.
I mean, work is definitely like different now just because I have baby Murph.
But wait. Pause. We need to go back to that, to baby Murph.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a baby. He just turned 7 months old. And now I like understand when my parents say like they love me more than anything. Haley, you remember I like called you when I was literally like 7 weeks pregnant and I was like, I'm freaking pregnant. And I think we were on like Zoom and your jaw dropped.
Yeah. I don't think that was necessarily like quite like in Olivia's like plan of things.
If I'm not mistaken,
that wasn't the the next plan.
No. I mean, it for sure happened very quickly and unexpectedly. I mean, he's 1000% like a blessing.
Oh, totally.
But if you were to ask me like last year if I was ready for a kid, I would have said no. Like my business is my kid. Mm. Like that's where my mindset was. So I was like terrified when I found out that I was pregnant. I was like, what the hell am I going to do?
And I think too, a pregnancy can be any number of things. Like the shock and the surprise of that can be anything. And when you're us or when you're a stylist who's working towards, you know, something really being an extension of exclusive stylist or whatever, I think you have to account for, even if you're not trying to have a baby, something major like this happening in your business at some point, if not several times.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree? Like kind of like, mm-hmm. It might not be a baby, but it's going to, you know, maybe someone close to you passes away or maybe someone close to you moves away or something shocking is going to happen.
Just something that like shifts your mindset.
Yeah. And your life.
Yeah.
So you find out you're pregnant with baby Murph and talk about what that experience was like. Cause you were really getting your footing in your business. Like I would say you were crushing it at the
point of pregnant. Oh, when I found out I was pregnant, I was probably like, I was like at my high. Like I was so happy. I mean, I'm so happy now, don't get me wrong, but I was like, I was just really proud of like how far I've came. I was getting the clientele that I wanted. I was working the schedule that I wanted. It was everything that I could have asked for. And then I was like grinding it out. I mean, I worked up until I had Murph. I had like a scheduled C-section. So that was nice, like being able to have a set date. And I was like so determined. I'm sure Haley, you remember this. I was like determined to go back to work like 6 weeks postpartum.
Oh, I remember.
Like I worked so hard to like line up my clients perfectly to where it would like work out me coming back at 6 weeks. And I struggled pretty bad like with postpartum depression. I had the baby blues. I was just an emotional mess, honestly. So I ended up taking 12 weeks off. And quite honestly, like thinking back now, like I probably should have taken a little longer, but going back to work was the best thing I could have done. I think just like getting up and having my purpose back. Cause before I had Murph, like that, my business was like my purpose.
Mm.
So yeah.
So if you were going to give advice to a stylist who is considering maternity leave and like trying to gauge how long she wants to take off, what would your advice be now being on the other side of all of that?
I would say like take the 12 weeks, but like play it by ear. Like I was not expecting obviously to like struggle like with postpartum depression. Like I had such a smooth sailing pregnancy. Like I was like, why am I struggling with this? It made no sense. But I would say just take the time you need, and the clients that want you to do them, that respect you, they'll come back to you. So don't stress about your clients. Don't stress about the money, because you only get this time once. So enjoy it and just recover.
Yeah. That it's like, I literally am like just shaking my head. Like, I love hearing this from you. I think it's very relatable. And I think a lot of people listening beat themselves up during any type of necessary life break that they have to take, because it does feel like everything's ending. Like, it feels like I've worked so hard for this and my momentum is going to stop, and like I don't know what's going to happen inside of my business. And you're a different person in ways too, you know, when major things happen. So it's just good to hear your story in it. I mean, I completely relate to that. And, you know, Haley's been through different hardships in her.
I'm so sorry. Am I doing something wrong?
No.
Okay. Did you vanish?
Yeah.
You're back.
I didn't hear anything you guys just said. I just remember Hannah saying it's relatable.
Yeah, no, it's very relatable. We'll keep this in and I'll just update you really quick. It's good to hear your story, because did you feel like...
Hello?
You there?
No. Hello? Yes.
Did you feel like things were falling apart at any point? Like, during your pregnancy or while you were off, did you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm losing everything, or it's not going to be okay?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, I definitely hit, like, a low point. Like, I wouldn't say, like, during my pregnancy, but, like, after I had Murph, like, when I was... Like, I didn't want to, like, admit that I was struggling. Like, I was just, like, trucking it out. And I was having clients. Like, when I came on social media and, like, announced that I was extending my maternity leave, I had clients that messaged me and said that they were going to go elsewhere. And I, like, totally understood that and I respected it. But that's, like, I think when I, like, started to spiral. I was like, well, what the hell am I going to do? And I just kept getting worse. So then I just finally reached out to my doctor and got on some medicine. And I just really just took a breath and I just like calmed down, because I really knew that if my clients were gonna come back to me, they would. And I just, that was just not something that I could worry about. Like, I was struggling too much mentally and emotionally to have that be like my worry. As much as I like wanted it to be like the first thing on my mind, it just couldn't be, because I knew that like if I didn't get like some help, then I don't know if I would be doing hair right now.
Yeah.
Wow. So did you feel like you had to rebuild your clientele again when you came back from maternity leave?
A little, yeah. I mean, I definitely will say, like, not all my clients came back to me, and that's okay. Like, thinking about it now, like, the clients that didn't come back to me, they didn't necessarily, like, fit my ideal clientele. So, in that aspect, like, that's fine. I don't feel like I'm building back up, like, where I was, like, when I first started with you, Haley. Mm-hmm. But I definitely do think building and marketing, that those are, like, the top two priorities right now.
I love that.
I love that, too. What's the – from the clients – I went through this recently, too. I have a 16-month-old baby, and I've definitely had to take inventory of – you know, of the people who left me during my maternity leave, and, you know, made space for new clients to come in. What could I learn from the clients that left, and like, what was the like common thread maybe that like, if I think about those clients, like what was I not giving them or what was I not paying attention to? Like, is there something you kind of like thought about in that way?
I think just when I came back to work and I was like looking at my books and I noticed like who was not on my books anymore, that's when I like went back through like the list of like my ideal client, like pinning out what I want her to be, what we connect with. And I think, honestly, like just, I think a lot of the clients I had left were the clients that we like didn't have a lot in common. They didn't necessarily like respect me. They were like the clients that were like wanting discounts often. And that's just not what I wanted. So that made it easy.
So you almost gained more clarity coming back, it sounds like, than you had prior.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly. And just maybe got better at enforcing your boundaries.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I think, I mean, you guys know, I mean, you guys have a family. Like, I think since having Murph, like before I had him, like, I don't think my boundaries, I don't think I really had them. Like, mm-hmm. I would stay late for a client. Like, if they needed to come in at 7 p.m., I would be there. But now, like, my priorities have shifted. And I mean, if you're not okay with it, then you're just not the client for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you get very, very clear on what's important to you and you're not willing to sacrifice in your life, whether it's church, family, you know, kids, your husband, your animals or whatever, once you get really clear with that, I think that's when you really find your people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And I think that's like when like your service time, at least for me, like since I have found truthfully like my ideal clients, my appointments are so much fun.
Yes.
Yes, I love that.
Like I don't dread, like I don't think I've ever dreaded doing someone's hair. I mean, maybe like a few, but what? Just, you know, Haley, you know.
I know.
I'm like, we've all dreaded somebody.
Yeah. I mean, just a few, but services are just so much fun now.
And that's what I think a lot of stylists like don't realize, right? And I still to this day, I think ideal client is the most important thing somebody can get clarity on around their business, because the rest of it won't fall into place until you know so specifically who that person is. And so just hearing you talk about that, Olivia, is so cool, because it, I don't know. I just agree completely. And I just think people underestimate how much just knowing who that person is, it can shift their entire business.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, okay. Tell us now, like, you're always going to be taking new clients. You're crushing it. You're making some other moves though, outside of building an extension clientele,
and oh,
we would love to hear about them. We always want everybody who comes on here to plug themselves, hype themselves up, and tell us what you're into, what you have to share and promote with the world.
I love that. I mean, I'm definitely staying really busy. Tiffany, you know her. Hannah, yeah. I don't know if you know Tiffany or not.
Oh, we love Tiffany. Yes, yeah. We know Tiffany.
Love her. Really ever since our Florida trip with Hannah and the other girls, Tiff and I have just really connected. And we were like chatting a couple months ago, and we were just like talking about how we wish there was like just a class that we could have gone to, like when we were starting with extensions, like just like tips and tricks to like help us feel more confident and just really help like narrow in on our appointments. So Tiff and I like took that and ran. So we're like doing classes now. We have our first class, not this Monday, but next Martin Luther King Day.
Oh my gosh, where?
It's at Tiff's salon in Carmel, Indiana.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we have our first class. I'm super excited. We have eight girls come in, which I feel like that's a great start. And
that's a great number.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So this will come out on let's see. We can put this out before the class if there's still seats available.
Oh yeah, we were going to cap it at like 10. So yeah, there's still like 2 tickets available if you want to come.
Okay, so what date is the class, what time, and then what will you learn at the class?
It's January 16th. It starts at 10 a.m. It's like 10 to 3. And Tiff and I are just really going to get raw with installs, just teach you all the tips and tricks that we've learned over the years to just help perfect our installs and just help your confidence. I feel like a lot of new extension stylists right now just don't have the confidence that they wish they had. So Tiff and I just want to help people. I really don't want this to like even be called like an educational class. We just want to help people. Like, this is something that we wish we had when we started.
Hell yeah. I love that. So it's going to be, where is the class being held?
It's in Carmel, Indiana at Tiffany's Salon.
Okay. And are you guys going to, so this is a technical skill class.
Yeah. Yep. It's hands-on. We'll have 2 models, 1 row and a 2 row model. And we'll go over coloring, our favorite formulas, the hair brands we use.
And you don't have to know any specific, like you don't have to be certified in any like hand tied.
No, whatever method, we don't care.
Or if you're just starting out.
Yeah, if you're just starting out, even that's great. Awesome. I think that's honestly like the best time to get involved in these kinds of like classes. And when you're like just starting out, you're like really wanting to soak in all the knowledge.
Absolutely. So if I heard this and I'm like, oh my gosh, Olivia, I can't make it to that class, will there be more dates?
Don't worry, there'll be more.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where can, like, what's the best way to like find out about the latest and
most definitely updated? On mine and Tiffany's Instagram.
So shout y'all out.
Yes.
What are what's your Instagram and what's Tiffany's Instagram?
My Instagram, it's very basic. It's Olivia with an extra A, OLIVIAA.CSEE. And Tiffany's Instagram is Tiffany Doing Hair, TiffAny Doing Hair.
And you guys just launched a podcast.
Yeah.
I love this. Tell us more.
Oh my gosh, our podcast is so funny. I mean, it's really good. But we just started and we're just started.
What's the podcast name? Where can we listen?
You can listen on Spotify, Apple, I think like all of them. The podcast is called Beyond Extension Education. And we're really just chatting about like all the ins and hair, extensions, business, everything. Like today's episode we just posted was about like, do you have the right support system while your business is growing?
Mm, I love that.
I mean, that was like one thing I struggled with big time when I made like the huge shift in my business.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's hard to, it can feel super lonely, entrepreneurship.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I feel so lonely. So, okay. I would love to know, I just have like a few more questions. I feel like,
yeah.
What do you feel like your biggest moment of growth was over the last couple of years, whether it's personal or professional?
Biggest moment of growth. Honestly, well, I have 2, like one personal and then one business. Well, yeah, business. Personal growth is my overall confidence and like who I am as a person. Like I know my core values, I guess, if that's a good way to explain it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And then like business wise, I think just the biggest was, like, I found what I am good at and talented at, and I took it and I ran with it. And I think my overall craft, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. Like, you feel confident in your skills.
Yeah, definitely. And I would not have been able to say that, like, when me and you had met.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Olivia, what do you feel like, because a lot of stylists that in my DMs and that I have pretty regular, oh no.
Oh, damn it.
This was going to be a good question too. Wait, she'll pop back on. We can just have filler conversation. Okay. Hannah.
How do you know she's going to pop back on?
That's I'm so sorry. Funny. I'm on. I don't know what's happening.
Do you have shitty service?
Well, you know, I do live in the boonies.
Yeah, that's probably why.
I'm so sorry. So... I'm standing next to a window.
Haley knew that you lived, like, in the middle of nowhere because she was like, hold on, you're going to pop back.
She's
gonna
pop I'm back sorry.
On. That's like, funny. Let's just have filler conversations. I was getting ready to ask Hannah if she took a shower today.
Oh my gosh. Haley was like, it's for sure her internet connection. Just I give know. Us a second.
I'm just so give sorry. Us 1 second.
Every time Haley and I would get on a call, she could never call me like a regular phone call. It would always have to be a FaceTime, like on Wi-Fi, because I have no service where I live.
Okay, that's the confidence that Haley came with, and she said, hold on, she'll pop back on.
Yeah.
I knew. Okay, so my question is about confidence still. So what would you say, or because I have a lot of conversations with stylists through Instagram and in real life, like very frequently, about confidence, and not just in their businesses, but also in themselves. Like, that is something that seriously so many people lack. And I'm curious, what do you feel, or when did your confidence start growing in yourself? And if you were going to give advice to someone on how to gain confidence, what would that advice be?
I think honestly, my confidence started to like come out when I was like first starting to like be consistent on social media.
Really?
So. Yeah. I think like when I show up on social media, whether like I look good or not, I think when I like see what I'm posting, I just like, this is gonna sound so corny. I can just like look at my stories now and I'm like proud of myself. Like I can look at like what I post and I just know like she's a badass. And I can like say that now, but I wouldn't have been able to say that before, but I think it like came out like using social media a lot.
That's wild.
Is that weird to say?
No, I love that response so much. Like, it almost like brought, when you were like, she's badass, like that almost brought tears to my eyes.
Oh my gosh.
Because Olivia, like, not a lot of people can look at themselves, especially look back at themselves on social media and be like, you're a badass. Like, what you are doing is badass. And so I think the fact that you can do that is one, incredible, but it's like, how can other stylists feel that way? Like, what, you know what I mean? Because I don't think most of them think that social media can do that for them. You know what I'm saying?
I think honestly, this is again gonna sound corny, but I have been reading probably for like a year and a half now, like daily affirmations to myself in the mirror. Like, I am my biggest hype girl. I mean, besides Evan, obviously, like, he hypes me up as much as he can. But I would tell someone, like, you have to hype yourself up. You have to, like, want to do this, like, for yourself.
I have chills.
I do too.
No, I mean, for real, because
you guys are so cute.
Well, that's what it is. You have to become a person that you are proud of and put in the work and because we all know we're being fake if we wish or want for something that we're not willing to like do.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is basically like you started doing it, and then regardless of, you know, if you thought you look like a superstar or whatever on the stuff you're putting out, you were like, hell yeah, I'm putting out the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that saying? There's like this saying, it's like you have to clap for yourself before you can expect anybody else to clap for you or something like that.
I mean, you really do. Like you have to be your own cheerleader. Your own like cheerleader.
Totally.
I mean, I just think that's so just hard. Like the world we live in.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
Yeah. And I think too, if there's, you know, if you really struggle being your own cheerleader, I think that's where you have to dig deep and figure out like what's going on inside of you where you can't,
where you can't
be for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So cool. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that so much. So you guys are trying to make a powerful shift in the extension industry, which is something that Hannah and I have talked about multiple times over and over. And we obviously love to see it. And it's really, really neat. We've talked about the shift that we see coming through extension education. And it's neat, Olivia, to see you and Tiffany doing such big things and trying to make that happen.
Oh, we're so excited. I can't wait for next Monday.
I know. I wish I wasn't working and I wish I could come and watch.
I know.
And be there.
I know. I'm like, who can we send to be in your guys' class? You guys, both of you are such great energy, such beautiful people and stylists.
I know. You're so sweet.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And you guys are doing the work and you really are inspirational. I mean, to anyone who's building their business or who has a business, you guys really are like, I mean, it's inspirational.
I agree. Olivia, do you have anything else you want to add or you want to share? You feel like the world needs to know this as well? Any parting words of wisdom?
I mean, I'm opening up a salon too, if you want to come work with me.
Hell yeah.
But no, that's it.
So like, hi, I'm Olivia. I crush it at hair extensions. I crush it at social media. Launching an education. I just launched a podcast in OBT Dub. I'm opening a salon.
Oh my God.
I'm smiling so big right now. Just like, Haley, just like listening to this. Okay. Will you plug your future salon real quick and let us know how someone who's listening who might be interested in working for you, how they can find you, what the timeline's like?
Yeah. I am opening a open floor concept booth rental salon. We'll have 8 chairs. I am just really looking for powerful, talented stylists who want to be independent but miss like the salon atmosphere. So that's
extension only, color?
No, you can do color too. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So color extensions.
Yeah. You can find more information at Muse Hair Studios Instagram.
Okay. When are you opening and where is it located?
We are projecting like springtime and it's in Powell, like down, like right next to like 315, like Powell, Ohio.
That's so exciting, Olivia. I'm so happy for you. So excited for you.
Haley, I told Sammy, you and her. Hannah, if you lived closer, you know I would have a chair for you too.
I mean, yeah, we never know what the future will be.
That's what I'm saying. You never know.
You don't ever know.
So, wow. I'm so excited for you. This is so amazing. You are so inspiring and I really appreciate you sharing your story with the world. Did you get a heat rash at all?
Oh, 1000%. I'll have to send you a picture.
From what?
Oh, I get very hivey. Like my chest breaks out in blotches when I'm like just a little anxious.
Yeah.
Are you right now?
I mean, I'm not sitting. I'm definitely like pacing around.
So funny.
Oh, well, you were wonderful. Thank you for joining us and
Thank you for having me.
I have like a permanent smile. Like, you were very inspirational. You're such good energy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love you too. Yeah. I need you guys in my life every day.
Oh, hey, listen, we've got our little group chat now, so we can just send audios every day.
Love that. You got me like hooked on audios, Haley.
I know. I like hate texting. I'm like, just send me an audio. Why are we wasting time with text messages?
I love it.
Guys, you know what's funny? It's like a cult. It's a phenomenon. Like, it transfers from one person to another, the audio.
It does.
Oh, it's addicting.
Sammy, Haley's assistant, sent me an audio yesterday, and I actually text her back and didn't audio her back, and I haven't heard back from her yet. And I'm like, I'm like, is she just like, it's just funny because I'm like, she's just like into the audio thing, and like, she'll get back to me when she gets back to me, but I didn't reply to her audio with an audio. I'm like, is that a faux pas? Like, did I break a rule?
I think it depends, because there are sometimes I can't reply with an audio. Like, yeah. I have to text back.
Yes, I had a baby that I was like trying to put to sleep, so I was like, I can't talk, no eye contact. The baby just has to like fall asleep. You guys know how it is. So
yeah. Yes.
I was like, texting is the only thing I can do.
Yeah.
Hilarious. No,
so funny. Well, Olivia, good luck with everything, and I can't wait to hear how your class goes.
Thank you so much
on everything that you're doing. You're an inspiration. You're incredible, and we're so proud of you.
Oh my gosh, I love you too so much.
Love you too. You're such a badass, and we love you guys, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.